And apparently there's a flyer, too, that's in your bulletin. All right, where's Terrence? Yeah, come on up. So where you always are. Okay, children, if you come forward now, and we're going to bless you. Well, this morning we have a special treat. If this is your first time here, or even if you've been coming for a while, there is a woman who is going to be delivering the message, who is going to be teaching us this morning, whom I've known over past, half dozen years or so, who has been a blessing in my life and in the house of this church. This morning, she steps out in obedience. She came to me a few months ago like this. Mike, I think the Lord wants me to do some teaching. She was hoping she'd be off the hook, but I chose instead to provide a venue for her. Please stand and welcome Alexia Hernandez.
That's pretty much the way it was. I like to open in prayer. Is this too loud? Better? Okay. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share something that you have placed in my heart, Lord God. Knowing that there are so many people here, Lord, that would probably be able to read from this word also, Lord. I pray that you would open their hearts to receive it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for your presence and being able to deliver this, in Jesus' name. For those of you that don't know me well, my family and I have been attending Prague for 6 years now. We came from Jacksonville, Florida, and the Lord literally drug us out here. My husband is in the military, and after 18 years of service, we were sure that we were going to retire in the area. Bought a house that we were going to build onto because we were retiring. And 365 days after we bought the house, we had to leave it. So here we are. We've been involved with the young married couples and with the teen ministry. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my past because who we are is really a result of what we believe and how we're raised and what our foundation is. I'm the daughter of Cuban immigrants. My parents came to this country in 1962. They fled Cuba in the Castro takeover. And a lot of you here pretty much read that in your history books by now. But I was just an itty-bitty infant. Itty-bitty. But I was an infant, and my parents lived it, though. And being an adult now, I appreciate so much more what they did. And literally, to me, my parents are heroes. I want you to take a moment. I'm a very visual person. I want you to take a moment to just close your eyes and imagine this little scenario. Imagine that you're in a place full of turmoil. There are rumors and there is nothing that leads you to the truth 100%. And all you know is that your country is in turmoil. You have a family to raise and you don't want them to be raised in this unknown situation. So you've got a few suitcases, small stuff. You pack everything that meant anything to you in the suitcase, and it can't be anything valuable because it's going to be searched, and if it's of any value, the government is going to keep it. So at this point, you have kids, and you have these little suitcases and whatever clothing you have, and you board a plane to go to an unknown country, an unknown people. Just everything is completely unknown. You have no idea how you're going to wake up the next morning. That's what my parents did. That's why I say that they're heroes. Because they turned their back on everything and everyone that they knew, their family, their friends, everything that was familiar to them. And at the time that they came, there wasn't the translation available that you see. Now you see everything translating to Spanish. You can go to a restaurant, there's foods in the grocery store that are ethnically based for Spanish dishes. that stuff there wasn't a lot of that at the time. So they literally came blind. And because of that, they wanted the American dream, and they knew that if they worked hard, they would be able to provide a life for us. And that's the type of example that I grew up with. I grew up with the example that if you work hard enough for it, you can have it. You're worthy of it, and those provisions would be made to you through your work. When they arrived to the States, my dad was a man of a third grade education, and my mom had a sixth grade education. And they started working in a factory. It was a pizza, frozen pizza factory. So they worked the 4 to midnight and the midnight to 8 shift so that somebody was home taking care of us. After 5 years, my dad started nourishing a business. He founded a business and a partner and started flourishing in that business, and it was doing well. But as all businesses go, you have to nourish that business, and it doesn't make any money for you or your family. So my mom continued to work, and for about 8 years, it was her little factory salary that kept us alive. She provided for the household. So basically, this idea of if I work hard enough for it, I'm worthy of it, is an honorable thing. You look at it and it's admirable. But I brought that type of thought process into my Christian walk. And it's been a challenge to shift that thought process to grace. The Lord's grace and favor was just something that I couldn't grasp. So why am I here talking about this today? Because it's not about you. It's not about your life, your struggles, the issues that might surface as defeats. Your successes and your victories, they're not about you. You can stop and think, why do you suppose that if salvation assures us eternal fellowship with the Lord, and we know that the Lord is looking for that, the Lord wants to have eternal fellowship with us and he's anxious for it, why don't we just die after we get saved? It makes sense to me. It's just a lot easier as far as I'm concerned. But the reality is that it's a journey. Salvation is the beginning of a long journey, and it's a road that if we choose, the Lord will walk out with us to transform us for his purposes. And I know that we've heard that. I mean, for years I've heard a lot of speakers, gifted speakers, talk about God has a plan for your life, there's a purpose for you. And I understood that to be true, but I understood it in my mind. It's not something that I understood in my spirit, that I carried with me. God had a plan for it, and you hear the little song. God has a plan for you, and it's like, yeah, right, when? But there's a few scriptures that I want to share with you. One is Jeremiah 1:5. And if we can turn there, or it's going to be behind me in a few minutes if you didn't bring your Bible. Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. These are the things that we read over and we don't really grasp the meaning of. He says that he formed us in our mother's womb, but before then, he knew us. The other scripture I wanted to show was Isaiah 64:8. And it says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. He formed us, he knew us before he formed us. And like the potter, he formed us in the way in which he wanted us to be. Then there's Isaiah 45:9. I'm going to read 5 before I read 9. It says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no other God besides me. I will gird you, though you do not know me. So even though we don't know him, he's there. Verse 9 says, woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potter strive with the potters of the earth. These are the things that I've heard for years. There's many other scriptures that back up to the fact that the Lord has chosen us. He has formed us and made us. But again, it's been a battle of the mind. And really, it's our human nature. It's our sin nature. It demands that we focus on self. And you can see this throughout our life cycle. From the time that we're a baby, we're born crying. If we're uncomfortable, if we're hungry, we're looking to feed ourselves. At the time that you become, well, you've spent about the first decade, I would say, first 10 years of your life trying to figure out how to get what you want. You know, kids are always trying to figure out how to get what they want. And it comes to a point when you're a teenager that, of course, you know it all. By the time you're a teenager, you've got it down, you know how it's going to happen, you've got it all lined out. As a matter of fact, if you have teenagers, ask them now before they forget, okay? Because they got it all. About the time you hit 20, it comes to what's in it for me. In your 20s, you're looking towards your careers, relationships, what's your future going to be looking like. So your thought process is what's in it for me. About the time you come to your 30s, you're settled into what you're doing, the kids, the spouses, and it's what about me? There's no time for you. Between nourishing a career or taking care of your children, you kind of get lost in all of that. When you hit your 40s, it looks more like I deserve. We know that as a mid-age crisis. And on a woman, it looks a little like I deserve. Little bling, little nails, gotta do a little something for yourself. On a man, it's more like a motorcycle, maybe an electric guitar, even though you've never had a lesson. Where is he? We know what that looks like. And if you want to know about the 50s or the 60s, find somebody else. I'm not there and I'm not in a hurry. But I'm talking about our human nature, our sin nature. Somewhere in all of this, hopefully, we have found the Lord and we're striving to walk in his ways. The problem is that we bring that focus of self into that walk with us. And in our Christian walk, although we're in faith walking in an area that is new to us, it still comes out like, what can I do for the church? What can I do to serve? Who can I help? I can't do much of anything. I'm not really great at any one particular thing. But what can I do to show that I'm worth the life that Jesus gave on the cross for me? And that's an area where someone that has a serving heart can get stuck easily. What can I do to thank the Lord for what he's done for me? The reality of it is we can't earn it, and we can't pay it back. And that's the beauty of what happened on the cross. We can never change that. When he gave his life for us, he gave it because of his desire to have fellowship with us, not because of anything that we did or anything that we earned. It's simply a gift. And a gift comes in a form of grace. So there's nothing we can do to ever change that. We can never earn it, and we just can't ever pay it back. Now, from the time I was saved, I'd always had a yes in my heart. It's like whatever needed to be done, if I could do it, if it was within my power to do, I would do it. And I did it not because I was working for it, but I did it because I love the Lord and I appreciate everything he had done in my life and just who he is, the fact that he sought me. So because of those reasons, I wound up doing a lot of stuff, waiting for that, you know, basically just waiting for whatever that purpose in my life was. So I kept looking and I found that although the Lord allowed me to do a lot of things, and a lot of things were easy for me to do, I kind of never knew where I was at. It's like, what am I supposed to do? Where's my gifting? Where's my purpose? And I just wanted, that little box. I wanted just somebody to say, okay, this is what you do. And it didn't happen that way. So a few years ago, when I turned 40, I reminded the Lord of my age, literally. I sat at my desk and I said, okay, hello, are you there yet? I said, can you see that I'm 40 years old? I've got what? Maybe at best another 40 years. You have wasted half of my life. Literally, I'm having this conversation with the Lord. I'm saying, you've wasted half of my life here where I could have been really doing something awesome for you, but you haven't done anything with this. And I said, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for me to just get old and decrepit when I'm not worth anything? And it, you know, I said that we have a relationship. He understands me. He knows what I mean, not so much what I say, but It took a few days, and at work, there was a young man that was there for an internship, and we had been having conversation back and forth about the Lord, and he was very skeptical of the Lord, very skeptical of the fact that everything that the Bible said was true. But we had been sharing on and off through his internship, and it was a few days before he left that he said something that triggered the conversation. And at that moment, it was one of those Holy Ghost moments where you feel the Holy Spirit in you, and you open your mouth, and you're like, wow, this sounds really good. It's coming out of your mouth, and you're thinking, all right. And it was really a moment that the Lord had prepared for that man. And I was giving him truth, and I was giving him words of hope. I was telling him things that I would have thought to tell him, but there's no way it was going to flow that way. So it was like I had exploded, and the Lord was coming out of my mouth. I sat back and I was like, wow, what was that? You know, the guy was, I mean, he was really, his thought process to all of this was really shaken. He says, you know what, I'm going to have to look at that. I'm going to have to consider that. And what happened with him is not up to me. You know, I prayed that the Lord would continue to put somebody in his path and continue to tell him what the truth was. But, you know, that's between the Lord and him. But what happened to me was I heard the Lord after I spoke with him and after the guy left. I heard the Lord said, there, that was your purpose for today. And this is just a few days after I had chewed him out for not using me. And I said, what? And it just made me step back and think. And the Lord said, stop looking for tomorrow. Every time you look for tomorrow, you're missing what I'm doing through you today. Just blew me away. It was one of those, like, wake-up things. It blew me away. And it really was a moment of revelation that my impact on this world was one person, one situation, one issue at a time. It was one person that might have needed healing, one person that was having marital problems, one person that was, you know, arguing with their parent. That was what my purpose was, just the moment of the day. So I looked back and I thought, here I've been saved for 14 years now, and I've worked with children's ministry, teen ministry, organizing evangelistic events, cleaning toilets, whatever needed to be done. I was doing all of this waiting for the time that my purpose was going to happen. And literally, I'd been waiting for a time that had been happening all along. And the Lord took me back to several times where these situations happen. I've had a woman knock at my door with two kids, a dog, and suitcase, telling me that she was leaving her husband, she couldn't handle it anymore. And we took her in, and after about 2.5 hours of praying and talking with her, she packed her little self up, went back home, and in 8 months, her husband was not only saved, but on fire for the Lord, had left her behind, took off, and was doing everything that could be done. And those are the things that we just don't realize, that God puts us in situations and in places, and it's Him. It's we just have to be available. So I had been waiting all along for something that had been happening. And I mean, there's a couple of things that I feel the Lord has laid in my heart. I do want to open a youth center one day, a place where kids can hang out and have fun and be in an atmosphere where, you know, Christ is loved. And I want to fund orphanages. I want to fund a lot of orphanages. And these dreams may or may not happen, but what God has given me is today. It's this moment. And I started looking for everyday events. I just started waking up, trying to tune myself into the Holy Spirit to see, okay, what could happen today where you could use me? And not, you know, something extravagant like that doesn't happen every day, but I know that I leak Him. And I say the word leak. Last year I attended a conference, which is where this message was really given to me. Bill Johnson was the speaker. And throughout the two-day conference, he was talking about a lot of things, a lot of topics, but he continued to use a few phrases. And the phrase was, freely receive, freely give. Then he'd go on to say something else. But throughout 2 days, I kept hearing that. It kept rumbling in my spirit. Freely receive, freely give. And I'm a giver, so I'm thinking, what can I give that I've gotten free? And I kept thinking of these things. They kept rolling in my spirit, and he mentioned something else through the conference. And these are just bits and pieces, but it'll give you an idea of how it became a revelation. He also said that even in selflessness, we focus on ourselves. And I had to think about that. I'm like, wait a minute, if you're being selfless, you're less self, selfless, but the word self is in there. It's a mind thing. You know, you got to think about it. It's one of those that if you don't stop and think, it slips away. So I was thinking about this when he was saying that even in selflessness, we focus on self. And I realized that in going out of my way to be selfless, I was still focusing on me, because it comes out like it was a sacrifice. It's like, I'm being selfless, I'm going to sacrifice. If I really want to buy that, but I know that I should be giving something to someone, well, I'm going to sacrifice this to give this. It was never just like a free thing. It was always like a balance. I have to give something up. So even in my selflessness, I found that I was focusing on me, because it was the sacrifice. And again, it goes back to that mindset. If I work for it, I would be worthy. I knew that there was something more during this conference. You know, when you're hearing the word of the Lord and you know that it's something great, and you're like, something else is here. We're missing something. I frantically wrote notes. Every word, even though we're getting the tape, every word he was saying, I'm over there writing the words, knowing that something that was going to change my life was going to be said there, and I was just afraid I was going to miss it. That's when he started talking about leaking Jesus. The reality is that we're full of him. We've accepted the Lord as our Savior, and we know that the Holy Spirit lives within us. So we're full of him. It's just a matter of letting him leak. The last few moments of this particular conference was what sealed it for me. It was the closing words that did it. If any, all of you that know me know that I have a gift of hospitality. I love to serve. It's just, to me, I love to serve. And he specifically, and these were the closing words of the last day of his conference, just when I thought, okay, I know there's something in there. I'm going to re-listen to all of those little CDs that are out there. I'm going to reread what I wrote, because he's closing, and I really didn't have the fireworks go off, so I'm missing something here. But I'm like, I was hanging on to it. I said, I know, Lord, I know that it's in my spirit, whatever it is. I came to this conference to find something, and I know I've got it. I have to have had it. And then he said, those that have the gift of hospitality will understand this. That's when the fireworks happened. The explosion went on, and it was all clear to me. The whole picture became clear, and I knew that I had gotten it. It's not so much to work in service to the Lord, but that Jesus is the substance that we're supposed to be serving. He is the thing that we serve. So that's the clincher. I mean, that's the one that got me. He is the substance that we were to serve. And I'm a very visual person, so the Lord showed me myself as a vessel. And I saw myself as this vessel. I was full of him, and I was being poured out freely. And again, that's when that other freely receive, freely give phrase that he was saying was made clear to me. Things started shifting within me, and I knew that things were being put in place in my spirit. You know, you feel like you're being aligned. I was getting an alignment. And I realized that even though I wasn't sure what all was happening, I knew that there was an answer there, and there was a key to something wonderful, and it was a revelation that I needed to set me free of this particular area in my life. I've got this little illustration here to kind of help all of us with that. And I asked a couple of people to participate, and I don't see David Burst. We have David Burst. Okay. I'm gonna show you the little illustration first. Okay. Hospitality, serving, you know, it's kind of like, this is what the Lord showed me to share, okay? Here we have a bowl, a cup of tea, and a glass of water. And these are basically vessels. And this is literally what the Lord used to deliver me from this unworthiness issue that I had going. The cup cannot say, I'm not worthy to hold tea. The bowl cannot say, I'm not worthy to hold cereal. The glass can't say, I'm not worthy to hold water. That's what they would create it for. There's no question. There's no wondering. When a person reaches for one of these objects to use them, they're there. These objects are not sitting in a cupboard going, oh my God, I hope he doesn't pick me. I can't do the cereal today. I mean, this is really, it's the way that I saw it. You know, I just saw these things in the, you know, you open it up and somebody reach for it and, oh no, not the water, not the water today. They don't do that. That's just what they are. They are what they are. And they're there for a reason and a purpose. They were simply made for those purposes. They don't fuss about it. So we're going to look at those scriptures that we mentioned earlier again, where Jeremiah 1:5 said, before he formed us in our mother's womb, he knew us. And this really, it blows me away because each one of us was conceived in him before our parents had anything to do with it. We were conceived. We were a being with a soul, with a plan, with a purpose before mom and dad got together. And it also says, with the second scripture, 64:8, that he is the potter. Not only did he conceive us, but he formed us. I know some of you, and it's kind of scary, but he formed you just the way that you are. Then 45:9, where it says, you know, where the pot is, it's saying, you know, what do you say? Sorry. What do we say that you're making of my life? The potter is the one that is doing it. How can the pot tell the potter, what are you doing with my life? And the reality of it is, it's not your life. You gave it to the Lord when you accepted his salvation. So we have David. Here's David. The Lord says, I want to serve David cereal. I'm standing over there, honey. It's what he needs today. He's asleep and is hungry. So, the Lord says, I'm serving him. You like this one? You're going to like it today. So there. I'll tell you when you can eat it. The Lord wants to serve him some cereal. Now, Marilyn, poor Marilyn, our church secretary, administrative assistant, she's had a really rough day. And Marilyn needs this tea. And the Lord wants her to have this tea because she's just had a hard day and that's going to be relaxing for her. And he knows her. He knows that the tea would make her feel soothed. And we've got Jamie. Jamie is just doing all sorts of stuff, has overextended herself. She's thirsty, tired, run down, and she's going to need a glass of water. And the Lord knows that that's what will refresh her. Now, these are simply vessels. And they're only there to accomplish what the Lord wants to do. Okay? They aren't worthy. They don't have to be. They just have to be. Okay? So there's nothing worthy in those items except for the fact that the Lord wants to use it. Now, how can David eat his cereal? Can eat now. How can David eat his cereal without the bowl? Of course, David is a teenager, and without the bowl, would probably just go. But there's a purpose for that bowl. And how will Marilyn sip her tea and receive that soothing flavor without the cup? And how will Jamie be able to get that refreshment without the glass? When we're saying we're not worthy, we're making it about us. Why can't we just allow the Lord to fill us so that we can pour him and serve him back out? Now, we want to see some practical application here, okay? David might be a new Christian, confused, knows that he had this awesome experience with the Lord and doesn't know what to do with it. So he might go to you and say, man, I just received the Lord and I don't know what to do. And this is what you could serve him on behalf of the Lord. Basically, all that he may need is that you share a scripture that did something for you, a scripture that when you that has meant something to you. And if you sit there with a Bible and you say, look, David, this is what helped me along with these times. That's it. That might be all that the Lord would need of you to minister to David. Marilyn might need someone, say, Don't worry about dinner, honey. I got it. Okay? I'm cooking or we're going out to eat. So that might be as simple as that. And Jamie may need someone to say, you're overextending yourself, you're doing a lot, you need to spend some time in Word, let's listen to some worship music together. Here's a CD that really relaxes me and refreshes me. That's all that she may need. And those are the things that the Lord uses. Consider yourself a cup for one person, a bowl for another, or a glass for another. Just find out from the Lord, what is it that I could be to someone for you today? Thanks, guys. Now, I know what you're all saying. You're saying, well, but I really don't have much of a gift here. I really don't have much to do with, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And by the way, you know, last night I was out late and, or I really lost my last marble with my husband the other day and said a few things. And so you start looking at reasons. You start looking in the mirror and you start looking at your flaws. And you start saying, you know what? I'm just going to have them call somebody else to share the word with them because I'm really not where I should be with the Lord. Again, we're making it about I. I'm not where I should be with the Lord. I went out and partied last night, and of course I don't have, you know, the anointing now. I mean, it's just, you come up with all these sorts of reasons. And I prepared a little clip for you. It's from the movie The Beauty and the Beast. It kind of gives you a little visual of what we're saying here. The Beast was a very proud prince, very handsome, proud prince. And I'm sure most of you have seen the movie, but he was cursed for his unkindness. And this curse could only be lifted if someone fell in love with him by the age of 21. Now, along with him, his servants were also cursed, and they were turned into household objects. Okay? In this clip, the servants, and those of you that have seen the movie know the scenario more, but in this clip, the servants saw Belle had walked in, and they saw the potential that she could be the one, although she stumbled into this castle, that she could be the one, the deliverer. And they went to great trouble to serve her. They threw out everything to serve her, to impress her, to have her stay in hope that their salvation would come through her. All but one little household item went through all that trouble. And we're going to show him. He was just his little enthusiastic self. Somebody want to get the lights so that we can see that?
Who is it?
Mrs. Potts, dear. I thought you might like a spot of tea.
You're a... Oh!
Careful!
This is impossible.
I know it is. But here we are.
I told you she was pretty, Mama, didn't I?
All right, Kit, now that'll do. Slowly now. Don't spill.
Thank you.
Want to see me do a trick?
Kit!
Oops, sorry.
That was a very brave thing you did, my dear.
We all think so.
But I've lost my father, my dreams, everything.
Cheer up, child. It'll turn out all right in the end. You'll see. Oh, listen to me. Jabbering on while there's a supper to get on the table. Chip.
Bye.
Well now, what shall we dress you in for dinner?
I love that movie. It has like 5,000 messages you can preach in it. But the little one that couldn't care less about the fact that he had a huge chunk of chip of porcelain missing from his rim just enthusiastically allowed himself to be poured into so that he could be with her. And that he was serving their deliverer. And he was named for that. So he had a flaw that wasn't like a fine little line crack that you have to hold up to the light to see. He had a chip missing from his cup, and that was his name. He was named for his flaw. And although he was named for his flaw, he didn't care. He allowed himself to be poured out, and he allowed himself to do it cheerfully and enthusiastically. He never took into consideration that that chip could keep him from serving his deliverer. All he had was a willing heart. So I would say, don't get hung up on your flaws, because there's nothing that you see as a flaw that the Lord cares about, because he is above all of that. He is above your flaws. He will work them out with you if you have a willing heart. And that's all that's needed. You don't have to be perfect. You need to be willing. So basically, it's not about us. We can't earn the cross. We can't pay the cross back. We cannot pay the Lord for what he's done. We need to see what he's doing through us on an everyday basis. We need to leak him and stop focusing on our flaws and simply have a willing heart. Because it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about what his purposes are in our lives. And ultimately, our purpose is to host him. We were created to host Jesus, to be a vessel through which he could be seen and heard. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his ears. I'd like to close in prayer. You guys can join me. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for those that have heard this word. And I ask that they would take it home as little tidbits and that they would think about it throughout their day, Lord. That they would see just how precious and wonderful they are, Lord. And they are simply because you said that they were, Lord. Because you've chosen each and every one of us here, Father. You've chosen us for whatever your plans or purposes are, Lord. But it's a simple situation if we could just get ourselves out of it, Lord. So I ask you, Lord, that every day they would see your hand in their lives in a wonderful way and see how worthy they are simply because they are covered by your blood, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Did you want to do the closing or did you want me to do it? Okay. Thank you.
First of all, I want to commend the Lord. He really knows how to pick teachers, does he not? Thank you. Please stand. We are obviously imperfect vessels. We are pots who are cracked. We are cracked pots. Okay, that was kind of a Pastor Lanny joke, but and yet the Lord doesn't ask us to be perfect. He simply asks us to be willing. It is very hard, particularly in the society in which we live, to assume a posture otherwise than the posture that, hey, it's all about me. You know, I deserve this thing. Going for the next pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That's the mindset in which we seem to be inundated in this society. But the Lord has a different way for us. One that is about dying to self. Taking the things that we struggle with most and nailing it to the cross. So, for those of you that in which this message really spoke to you, we're going to invite you to come forward if you'd like some prayer. My ministers, I'm going to invite you to come up right now. For the rest of you, consider this encouragement, and I really appreciate that, what Alexia shared with us today. Be your purpose for today. Just be that thing that God is asking you to do today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But be obedient to the Lord and what he asks today. Die to yourself today. Don't worry about dying to yourself for a lifetime. Just for a day. So now, for those of you in which, we're all my ministers. So for those of you in which this is you, in which you go, seems to be about me. It's I doing this. Me receiving that. opposite of you, Mommy. I want to invite you to come forward, because we've got folks who want to pray with you. Together you can invite the grace of the Lord to be with you in this area. Also, for those of you who are in some kind of physical pain, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now if you can. Anybody in physical pain? 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to ask you to come forward too, because we want to pray over you. See if the Lord won't get a hold of that. For those of you who've been here for a while, you know there's been a real grace in this house over healing. And so we're going to run with that a little this morning and see if we can't get some folks leaving here who are feeling a little better. Okay? So please come forward. You're welcome to stay and worship in a very short amount of time down in the sunroom. There will be an opportunity for refreshments. We can hang out and laugh a little bit. But for the moment,